half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Danny Whetstone. It was presented in March of 2004. The title of the message, Launch into the Deep.
Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. I believe there are still those who would like to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The Lord Jesus is down by the seashore teaching and preaching the word of God. I'm not sure how many he started with, maybe just a handful in the beginning, but the crowd evidently grew. And as the crowd would grow, he would back up from them. They didn't have public address systems like we have today. And with me preaching, some people wish we didn't have them now. But they didn't have public address systems in those days. And if he's going to project his voice to the crowd, he can't allow himself to get too close to those in front, lest it be muffled out. And so I'm sure he's taking a step or two back, and the crowd is growing and growing and getting larger, and he's teaching and he's preaching, and finally he looks around and he sees two ships nearby and fishermen that are there washing their nets. And so he says to Simon Peter, Could I borrow your boat? Well, of course, sir, you could borrow my boat. Well, could I borrow you? I'll need your help as well. Would you steady the boat so I can sit in the boat and teach the people from the boat? And Simon Peter said, Well, I suppose so. Now keep in mind, Simon Peter has been fishing all night. Not only has he been fishing all night, but in his labor, he's done no good. He's caught absolutely nothing. Nonetheless, he gives himself to the Lord for this task, and he steadies the boat, and the Lord teaches the people the word of God. And he's accomplishing at least a couple of things at this point. He is in a position where he can teach them and keep them from encroaching right down on him. And he also has Simon Peter in a place where he has to listen. And so when he finishes teaching the word of God, he turns to Simon Peter and he said, Hey, you did a great job pushing out from the shore a little. You did a great job. I appreciate your help. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon Peter said, Sir, we've fished all night. We're tired. We're going to have to go back and go fishing again tonight because we can't sustain our families on catching nothing. But if that's what you want me to do, okay. And so he thrust out, he launched out into the deep. He didn't let his nets down, he let his net down. But I'm not going to criticize Simon Peter because he's walked further on water than I have. When he let his net out, he caught more fish than his boat would hold. And so he beckoned unto James and John, his partners, and said, Come help me. They brought their ship out and loaded both ships down until they were about to sink. Simon Peter falls at the knees of the Lord Jesus. Don't know any place in the scripture. except this passage where someone falls at the knees of the Lord Jesus, prostrate at his feet, but Simon Peter at his knees. One of two things. Maybe the Lord is in a seated position, and Simon Peter bows down at his knees and looks up into his face. Or maybe the Lord's knee-deep in fish, and to his knees is as low as Simon Peter can go. But what Simon Peter is attempting to do in falling at his knees, he's attempting to say to him, what has transpired here, I did not do. The fish are not in this boat because of my expertise. They're in the boat because of your blessings. And the Lord Jesus said, you hadn't seen anything yet. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And they forsook all and followed him. I grew up as a boy in the state of Florida. In the old hotels or old motels in the state of Florida, as I was coming up, they not only would have a swimming pool, but up at the head of the swimming pool, they would have a smaller, very shallow pool, and they called it the kiddie pool. K-I-D-D-I-E, kiddie pool. That's where the little children would play, and moms would bring their small children and let them splash and play in the water, while those who were capable of swimming, or some semblance thereof, would get into the deeper water, the water that would be over their heads. But the small children stayed in the kiddie pool. Here is something I'm concerned about in our day. I'm concerned that maybe the average believer today has gotten satisfied with playing in the kiddie pool. When we were in the kiddie pool, our dream was to get into the big pool. Mama, let me get in the big pool. You're too little to get in the big pool. You might drown. There were times, I'm sure, that would have been a welcomed something for my mom, bless her heart. But no, you can't get in the big pool. You play in the kiddie pool. And we were just so anxious. I didn't want to stay in the kiddie pool forever. I wanted to get in the big pool. And I think it should be the healthy desire of every believer to get out of the shallow water, to get away from the shoreline, and to launch out into the deep, expecting great things from their God. But it takes some things to launch out into the deep. I'd suggest to you, first of all, it requires faith. Simon Peter and those that were laboring with him had been fishing all night. And these men were good fishermen. They knew the best time to fish. They knew the best place to fish. They knew the best equipment to use in fishing. When I was a boy coming up, one of the jobs that I had in the afternoons, on weekends, in the summertime, was a seine crew, a fishing net. We had a 450-yard net, five young boys, and the owner and his brother-in-law would fish this particular net. I told some of the guys earlier this week about Edmund Hartsfield. Edmund knew fishing. He could sit a mile and a half from the nearest water and tell you exactly when it was time to go fishing. We say, well, Edwin, how do you know? How can you be up here and tell us when it's time to go fishing? Well, he said, I watch the moon. You watch the moon? Well, he said, yeah. He said, you can tell the tides by the moon and tell when it's time to go fishing. Now, he said, you can't tell as good as you used to could. Well, Edmund, has something happened to make the moon behave differently? Oh, he said, yeah, since they've been shooting them rockets at it, don't act like it used to. Oh, yeah. Oh, we said, Edmund, they've actually sent men to the moon, have actually landed on the moon and come back. He said, there ain't no such a thing. We've seen pictures of it, Edmund. He said, they went out to Arizona and took them pictures and made you crazy people think they went to the moon. He died believing that. He died believing we'd never been to the moon. Was he a rocket scientist? Oh, no. But I'm telling you, he knew fishing. Old Jay Thomas that owned the fish house and the net that we used, all the equipment, old Jay Thomas would get out there in the early morning. Us boys, we'd go out on the beach and wallow out a hole and pull a blanket over us, not because we were cold, but keep the mosquitoes and gnats from taking us off. And old Jay Thomas would walk down that beach, just lumber down that beach, and he'd go completely out of sight. Might be an hour, hour and a half, might be 2 hours. Here you'd see him come lumbering back. And he'd be looking out toward the ocean every once in a while and turn back. And when he'd get fairly close to us, he'd speed up and come right in. He said, boys, get the boat ready.
if we strike these right, he said, I believe we can get 1,500 pounds. I guarantee he'd be within 100 pounds of what we'd put in the boat. We got down late one afternoon, and a school of fish had already gone by us. He said, boys, that school of fish is so big, we'll hit them backwards. That's from the backside. We'll hit them backwards, he said, and we can still catch 3,000 pounds of them. We caught 3,200 pounds. He didn't know a great deal about the moon. He didn't know a great deal about a spacecraft, but I'm telling you, he knew a lot about fishing. Simon Peter and these fellows are not novices. They are fishermen. They know when it's right to go fishing. They know the right time to go fishing. And it's going to take some confidence in the one who is speaking for them to launch out into the deep with their bones aching with weariness already. And they just finished cleaning up their nets, and now they're going to get them all dirty again and have to start all over through the process again. There'll hardly be enough time today to get ready to go back fishing tonight. Yet he said, I believe you. I'm telling you, he must have heard something while steadying that boat that gave him a great deal of confidence in the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that taught as one that had authority. I want to ask you something tonight. Do you trust him? What kind of confidence do we have in God? Are we so afraid? Are we so timid that we get satisfied with surf fishing? We get satisfied with shallow waters? We get satisfied with the kiddie pool? Can't we have enough confidence in God to launch out into the deep? Expect that God is going to do great things. If we're going to launch into the deep, it's going to take some confidence in God. It requires faith. Not only faith, but surrender. He says, I don't quite understand it. Nevertheless, at thy will, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, when the Lord called me to preach, my pastor said, you need to go to school. I said, no, I don't like school. So he got me some places to preach, and I went out and preached on the weekends and was a diesel mechanic during the week. And after a little while, I went back to him. I said, where were those schools you were talking about? And so we looked at a couple of schools and determined that it was the Lord's will that we go to Bob Jones University. Well, it came time to go, and the pastor came over with a financial advisor in the church and sat down with us. And to make a long story short, he said, these kids can't afford to go to school. Pastor said to me, son, he said, you can't afford to go to school. I said, well, pastor, you didn't need to bring him over here for that. I could have told you I can't afford to go to school. Don't have any money. But I said, we're going to have to go because we just believe that's what God wants us to do. We could not sit down with pencil and paper and figure it out, but we were confident it was the will of God. And so we made preparations and made plans. We were living in a 12 by 60 mobile home. And the cheapest thing we could do was take that to Greenville, South Carolina with us. Payment was only $89 a month. However, it was going to cost $540 to get it there, to get it set up. We didn't have $540. I'm not sure we had $5.40, but I know we didn't have $500. I mean, the truck was there getting the trailer ready to move it, and we still didn't have the money. And while we were standing around talking on the outside of that trailer, my pastor rode up. He had a horse named Red Lady. He rode Red Lady up to my place. He got off his horse. He said, boy, 6 months ago we took you kids on for $100 a month, and I forgot to give it to you. Gave me $600. We had $540 to get everything moved and $60 left over. We were into big money. There's some things you're not going to be able to sit down and plan with pen and paper. We're going to have to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. We seem to ride the pendulum from one extreme to another. There were years in which many churches just went out on outlandish ideas and got churches into indebtedness, and as a result, many churches folded. And because of that, the pendulum swung to the opposite extreme, and it got to a place where we wouldn't buy a notepad unless we had $100,000 in the bank. Somewhere between there is a good place to be. Faith and surrender that says, I don't seem to be able to figure it out myself. Nevertheless, if it's your will, I'll do it. If we're going to launch into the deep, it'll take faith. It'll take surrender. It'll take unity. Here's Simon Peter. He's out. He puts his net out. He catches more fish than he can handle. He calls to James and John. He says, fellas, get out here and help me. I can't do this by myself. I need your help. We know at this point, Simon Peter is not an independent Baptist. Because most independent Baptists I know would let their boat sink before they'd share their fish. Oh, no. I'm not going to announce that revival meeting across town while somebody might go over there and stay. Be careful now. Not one of us is going to be able to get this thing done by ourselves. We're going to have to do it together. And if we're going to labor together in unity, we're going to have to work toward it. Let me help you. No trick here. Would you repeat after me? I could be wrong. Well, doesn't that feel good? Just takes all kind of pressure off, you know. Well, I could be wrong. You know, the church I was saved in, the church was torn apart. Half the people went 2.5 miles down the road and started another church. You know why? Because they could not agree on what color carpet to put in the auditorium. I wonder how many people have walked down these aisles to be saved, and with tears running down their cheeks, they said to Pastor Heron, as soon as I came into this service today and saw the carpet, I knew I had to get saved. Then that must not be real important. It's certainly not important for us to fuss over. Important enough for us to fuss over. And most of the things we fuss about and get out of sorts about are not worthy of their attention to start with. Now, if it's in the Word of God, it's right, and you can't be wrong about the Bible. But everything else you could be wrong about, and so could I. There have been times I didn't get my way, and within a month I was glad I didn't. We're going to have to labor to dwell together in unity. And it means that from time to time, I'll not get my way. Years ago, when I was pastoring, we kind of hit a stalemate, and I felt like our missions program needed a jolt. And I believe the Lord impressed on my heart for us to take a missionary on for at least $1,000 a month. And we were just getting by as it was. So I came to the deacons and I said, fellas, I want you to pray about this. Ask God to bring somebody across our path that He so impresses us with that we will want to connect with them, and I would like to take them on for at least $1,000 a month. Well, a few months later, we had a fellow come through. I'd never met this guy before. I didn't even know that he was going to the mission field when my eyes first fell on him, but I knew he was the man. I knew it. Well, he came to our church and he preached, and I said to the deacons, I said, fellas, this is the man. I said, I'd like to see us take him on for $1,250 a month. The chairman of the deacons, Brother Lester Campbell, he said, preacher, could I talk? Or is this the deacon's meeting? He said, could I talk to you in the hall? I said, sure. So we went out in the hall, and Brother Campbell loved God. Oh, he loved God. And he said, are you sure? I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't think we ought to do this. Are you sure? I said, Brother Campbell, I'm sure. He said, okay. We went back into the deacon's meeting. He sat down. I sat down. Brother Campbell said, I move that we take on this missionary for $1,250 a month, and they voted unanimously to do it. The day Brother Lester Campbell died, the day before he died, I was sitting by his bed. He said, preacher, you know something? I said, no. He said, I still don't think we should have done it. But to my knowledge, I'm the only person on earth who ever knew it. He supported that missionary like he supported everything else in our ministry. Prayed for that man as he prayed for every other man associated with our ministry. He did not get his way, but it did not change his attitude, nor his action. If we're going to launch out into the deep, Oh, we can fuss and fight in the kiddie pool. But if we're going to get out in deep waters and attempt great exploits for God, we can't let little nitpicking things that are worthless and meaningless deter us from our task. God, help us to go to the deep water. I believe it'll take prayer and humility. The Apostle Peter falls at the knees of the Lord Jesus Christ and in essence says, Lord Jesus, I toiled all the night in the energies of the flesh and was incapable of accomplishing anything but just a few minutes with you in the boat, and I had more than two boats would hold. We can do more in a moment if God is in it than we'll do in a lifetime in the energies of the flesh. Let's humble ourselves before God and seek His blessings. And then last of all, I think if we're going to launch out into the deep, it's going to require a sense of burden or need or cause. In this particular case, in verse 1, it's preaching, and by the time you get to the end, it's fishing for men is the cause that motivates the Lord Jesus and will in the end motivate Peter, James, and John. There's a little lad, he's out taking care of some sheep, and his dad brings a donkey with some bread and cheese, and he says, David, I want you to take this and go up to the front lines where Israel is fighting the Philistines and find your brothers and give them this bread and cheese and see how they're doing and bring me back a report. And so David makes his way out, and he's coming up on the encampment where the armies of Israel have gathered, and maybe they're rather sparsely set up as he first enters the encampment, but as he moves further and further, they get more densely populated, and maybe he's asking this one, do you know my brothers? Oh, yeah, they're in this direction. Just keep going straight. And he keeps going until finally he finds his brothers. His brothers embrace him, and how is dad doing? How are things back home? Are you taking care of the sheep okay? Oh, dad's doing fine. He sent this bread and cheese for you. Maybe they got some of their friends together and built a little campfire and sat around it and told stories of their home and asked David to give reports on how certain things were going on at home, and their fellowship was sweet and wonderful as they enjoyed the bread and cheese from home and the sweet fellowship of their youngest brother. And all of a sudden, their fellowship was broken by a loud noise from yon hill. And it's Goliath, breathing out threatenings against the armies of Israel and against the God of Israel. And David said, somebody ought to go shut him up. And his brothers said, why don't you go back home and take care of those few little sheep? Leave the battle to us. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Word ripples through the encampment until it comes in the ears of King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. He calls for David, and David stands before him, and he said, son, is it true? You think this uncircumcised Philistine should be taken care of? Indeed I do, sir. He said, well, here, take my armament and go after him. I'm not going to need it. David said, I've neither tried nor proven these things, but with these few instruments I hold, God has delivered a lion and a bear into my hands, and he'll deliver this uncircumcised Philistine. David makes his way down the hill, and just before he starts to ascend the hill on the other side where Goliath is standing, he drops down. And I doubt he ever takes his eyes off of Goliath. Probably with his eyes on him, he reaches down until he finds a stone exactly the size and shape that he wants. And he puts it in a pouch at his side, and he finds a second, a third, and a fourth, placing each of them in a pouch at his side. But now he's reaching for the fifth one, and he feels and feels. That's it. Maybe he rolls it in his hand for just a moment as he fixes his eyes on Goliath. Goliath is breathing out threatenings. Goliath assumes, I'll stomp my foot and this little puppy will run back to safety. And David stands and pulls his sling out of the sash on his side and places the stone in its place and pulls it taut in his hand. And indeed he will run, but not back toward the camp. With the sling around and around, he breaks out in a run toward Goliath and lets the stone go. God takes the stone and thrusts it into the forehead of that giant of a man, and Goliath falls to his knees and drops to his face. David runs and unsheathes Goliath's sword. and with a blow severs his head from his shoulders. With a bloody sword dragging behind him in one hand, he takes his other and runs it through the coarse black hair of Goliath's head and lifts his bleeding head up off of the ground and starts making his way back toward the camp of Israel. By this time, the armies of Israel have gathered courage, and now the Philistines are fleeing, and the army passes him as he makes his way back toward the encampment. Let's suppose that there's someone standing there in the camp to greet him as he comes back. Son, are you crazy? Do you not realize you could have died today? Humanly speaking, you're no match for this giant of a man. What are you thinking? What would possess you to do such a thing? You could have died. I think David would say, sir, I would rather die for something than live for nothing. Is there not a cause? I say to you, there's somewhere between 3 and 4 billion people in the world today who have never one time had a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ before them. Is there not a cause? If we're going to launch out into the deep, it'll require faith and surrender, unity, prayer, humility, and a cause. I want you to note one last thing. I'm finished. Verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Peter, James, and John did not forsake all and follow Christ on their worst day. They forsook all and followed Christ on their best day. On their very best fishing day, they turned their backs on their fish, their boats, their nets, and they followed the Lord Jesus. You don't have to wait until life is wasted. You don't have to wait until life is ruined. You don't have to wait until life is tainted to give God whatever is left over. Give God the best of your life. I promise you, He's worthy.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Launch into the Deep from Evangelist Danny Whetstone. It was originally presented in March of 2004 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.